deed as briefly given below will show that it is not possible for everybody to understand the underlying significance and real meanings of the Quran Sharif. Number one, among the 15 sciences are lughat, philology of language, which helps in understanding the appropriate meanings of words. Mujahid rahimahullah ta'ala says, one who believes in Allah and the day of Qiyamah should not open his lips in respect of the Quran unless he is thoroughly conversant with the philology of the Arabic language. Quite often an Arabic word has several meanings. A person may be knowing only one or two of them, though in a given context the actual meaning may be quite different. Number two, nahu, syntax, a branch of grammar which helps in understanding the relation of a sentence with another, and also of i'rab, vowel sounds of the letters of a word. A change in i'rab often means a change in the meaning. Number three, sarf, etymology, a branch of grammar which helps in knowing the root words and conjugations. The meaning of a word changes with a change in the root and with a change in its conjugation. Ibn al-Faris rahimahullah ta'ala says, one who loses the knowledge of etymology loses a great deal. Allama Zamakhshari rahimahullah ta'ala mentions that when a certain person said to translate the ayat, يَوْمَ نَدْعُوا كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ, on the day of Qiyamah, on the day that we shall call each and every person after the leader, behind the leader, he ignorantly rendered the translation as, on the day that we shall call each people after their mothers. He supposed that the singular Arabic word imam, leader, was a plural of the Arabic word mother. If he had been conversant with etymology, he would have known that the plural of is not imam. Number four, ishtiqaq, derivatives. It is necessary to have the knowledge of derivatives and their root words, because if a word has been derived from two different root words, it will have two different meanings. Example, the word masih is derivable from masah, which means to touch or to move wet hands over, and also from masaha, which means measurement. Number five, ilmul ma'ani, knowledge of semantics, because phrase constructions are understood from their meanings. Number six, ilmul bayan, that is knowledge of figures of speech like similes and metaphors, due to which expressions or shades of meanings or similes are and metaphors become known. Number seven, ilmul badi', knowledge of rhetoric, the knowledge which reveals the beauty of the language and its implications. The last three are the branches of ilmul balagha, knowledge of oratory, and are considered very important subjects which a commentator should master, because the Quran Sharif is a perfect miracle and its amazing constructions can only be understood after mastering these subjects. Number eight, ilmul qira'ah, knowledge of the art of pronunciation, because different methods of recitation sometimes convey different meanings, and sometimes one meaning is to be preferred over the other. Number nine, ilmul aqaid, knowledge of the fundamentals of faith. This is necessary to explain certain analogies. The literal meaning of certain ayat referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the correct one. For example, the analogy in the ayat, يَدُ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ, the hand of Allah is over their hands, will have to be explained because Allah has no physical hands. Inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Social etiquette in regards to medicine. There is permission to utilize medication. In fact, it has been encouraged. Do not force a person to eat or drink if he is ill. Do not use haram ingredients in medication. Do not use amulets and ta'weezes which are contrary to the sharia. As far as possible, take care of the stomach so that the rest of the body will remain well. If the stomach is not in order, then the whole body will be afflicted with sickness. If a person is afflicted with such an ailment while people have an aversion to, which people have an aversion to, then it is better for him to remain away from people so that he does not cause distress and difficulty to others. Believing in bad luck is one form of shirk. Astrology, fortune telling and palm reading, etc., destroy a person's iman. Allah Ta'ala save us.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Of the six additional things that we should keep roza, we discussed the one about the eyes, the control of the eyes, which is for man also, for woman also, and also we brought in the aspect of parda, which is also to do with the eyes. So if we keep our rozas with all the parts of the body, then we'll make the profit and we'll see the benefit of roza. Then a person will enjoy fasting and keeping roza. But if we don't do that, then it will be just like a burden for us. Fasting will be like a strain, a burden, not something that we look forward to. Just as we had explained a few times, that the December month for a businessman is a busy month. But no businessman looks at it as a burden. He looks at it with eagerness. Though now he's going to sleep less, he's eating also, he won't even have his lunch properly. He'll be so busy in his shop, but he looks forward because he's making a profit. So we also, if we see the profit of Roza and the month of Ramadan and for what it actually is meant for Akhirat, so if our object of life is akhirat, that is also very important. If our object of life is dunya, then we won't enjoy Ramzan. Then Ramzan will be a burden. It will be stopping us from many things that we want to enjoy with and live up to in dunya. Now Ramzan is stopping us from that. But if our object is akhirat, the great rewards, just from the reward point of view, then a person will look forward. This is a month to coin it now, to really coin it for the akhirat. And more than that, this is the month to make one's islah and to correct one's life. Then a person will look forward. Therefore, it's very, very important in our intentions also. One of the first and primary intentions of our lives must be that I'm here in this world for akhirat, to prepare for my akhirat. Dunya is just a means, a necessity. It's not my object of life. But if we have made dunya our object, then namaz is a burden for us. It's an obstacle stopping us from our progress. Roza, Ramzan is an obstacle for us. So we have to make our niyat the akhirat. That is my object in life, the pleasure of Allah and the akhirat. And dunya is the means to acquire the akhirat. Allah has sent us here to acquire the akhirat and not to just for the sake of this dunya. Ad-dunya khuliqat lakum. Dunya has been created for you. Wa antum khuliqtum lil-akhirah. And you have been created for the akhirah. Like for example, if you have, you call somebody to wash your car for you. You tell him, I'll pay you 50 rand, wash my car for me. And you give him the soap also, the polish also, everything what is required to wash the car. Now when you go and check up, you see he's washing his car. Your car is standing one side, he's busy washing his car. How angry won't you get? And you won't even think a second thought, you'll fire the man on the spot. That I gave you all and you're using all my things to wash your car. Allah has given us everything to make His ibadat. Now we left His ibadat and the object of life one side. Now we are serving ourselves. To make ourselves happy, get a better house, get a better car, and live it up, get better food. We forgot the whole object. We are just doing everything for ourselves. Allah created everything for us, and He created us for akhirat. But we using everything not for akhirat, for ourselves, to live it up in this dunya, to make our dunya more better, more greater, etc. So that is totally wrong. We must make our niyat the akhirat, the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So in that, the next thing that we also have to keep roza of is the roza of the tongue. To control the tongue is also very, very important. And in fact, in the shariats of before, people used to keep roza of not talking. Inni nazartu lirrahmani sawman that I've made nazar to Allah Ta'ala, I've made a mannat, a vow that I will fast. فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيَّ. So I won't speak to anyone at all today. So that was also in the khanqas of before, a person who has the sickness, and many people have this of talking a lot all the time, blabbering away all the time. A little child of 2 talks all the time. And what doesn't the child talk? Just doesn't keep quiet, just carries on talking. So we have reached 50, but many of us still got that habit. What they say in Urdu very nicely, pachpan ko pahunche. We have reached 55, lekin abhi bachpan nahi gaya. But our childhood is not still gone. We are still like small babies, though we have been 55, but we are still like small babies. Or perhaps it is, وَمَن نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. Who we make old, then we turn them around and they become like babies again. So maybe we like babies again, now we have become like small children again, and we just blabbering away all the time. So this is not a good habit. So in the khanqas of before Mashayikh, for such people, they should put a board, hang it around their neck here, that I'm not allowed to speak to anyone. And all the time they have to stay with that board. So anyone want to speak, they just show here, that I'm not allowed to speak to anyone. A person who learns to control his tongue has been gifted with a very, very great gift from Allah Ta'ala. To speak right things, to read Quran Sharif, make zikr, give da'wat, good things, no problem whatsoever. But that also, everything has got its occasion. For example, if somebody, so much a shariat is, if somebody is sleeping, don't read Quran Sharif loudly next to him. Consider the person who is sleeping. How considerate is not shariat of even the person who is sleeping? Then to read Quran Sharif loudly where somebody is reading namaz, etc., that is not permissible. Zikr. You can't make zikr if it's disturbing somebody. Somebody who is sleeping, etc., somebody who is making namaz. Then you cannot make your zikr loudly, then you must make it softly. So everything has got an occasion, when to do it and how to do it. That is also very important, and that all has to be learned. So anyway, this tongue is a very, very great gift from Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala, which can be used also and which can be abused also. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says with regard to the tongue, jismuhu sagheer. It's very small in size, a few grams and a few centimeters, square centimeters, very small. Wajurmuhu kabir. But the sin of the tongue is very, very big. If a person uses it wrongly, and it comes in the Hadith Sharif, that the tongue, by one word of the tongue, a person speaks and he doesn't care what he spoke. He just spoke, and he takes him to the depths of Jahannam, and he carries on going down and down. Like, for example, a husband, wife, 2 friends were fighting, arguing. Now they sorted out their matters, they became again good, and you went and put fire again. You went and say one thing, and you started the fire again. That one word of yours will make you go down. Yeah, on earth, you'll be still making namaz and thinking I'm a pious person. Perhaps even a maulana and a buzurg and everything. A sufi, a tablighi. But there you are going down into Jahannam all the time. Because of that one word. And that person doesn't pay any attention also to that word. And also it comes in the other side of it in the hadith, that a person says one word and he doesn't pay attention and he rises up in Jannah all the time. A person, yeah, he might seem like an ordinary person. Nobody really counts him as any big person. He's not a maulana, he's not counted as a buzurg, ordinary person. But that one word of his. On one occasion, we were making Fajr Namaz outside Masjid in Nabawi, very long ago, the old Masjid which was small. And we were outside on the street, and a fight broke out between 2 people. Their swords, daggers also came out before Fajr. One person only said so much, Salli ala Nabi, read Durood on Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nobody still read Durood, just the word Salli ala Nabi, and everything cooled down. And till today, Arabs have got this habit. How they can be fighting, but just salli ala nabi, and everything gets sorted out, cools down. They put their daggers away, they hugged one another, everything, the fight was over. So that one word of that person who said that,
to what heights of Jannat it is taken. Otherwise there could be murders there. Because of that we are fighting and murder, perhaps the families could get involved, other people could get involved in. What and what could happen? Then one, and also with regard to the tongue, and with other things also, one person told Shaitan that why are you causing all this trouble in the world? Murders, wars, fighting, etc. Shaitan said, I don't do all that. He said, you cause all this trouble. So he said, I haven't got time for all that. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said that how will a person know when he is being instigated, when he is being aroused to commit a sin, whether it's the instigation of shaitan or of nafs. Two enemies we got who want us to do evil all the time. Shaitan is the outside enemy and nafs is the inside enemy. And nafs is the big enemy, more bigger than shaitan also. Who made shaitan go astray? No other shaitan came. It was his nafs. His nafs told him, Ana khayrun minhu. I'm better than Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. So anyway, these two enemies, and that is also a point that we are totally unmindful of. If anyone knows I've got enemies with me, how won't he be careful of that? If we have to just get an idea, there's a snake here. Forget a snake, just a mouse. Nobody will sit peaceful here. Everyone will be jumping and standing up and running. But if there was a snake, what was the case? Shaitan is definitely an enemy, worse than a snake. But who of us even got any idea? That we have been told he's our enemy, it's not bad. If somebody, for example, you're going to travel to some country, and somebody tells you there the customs, they're very particular about food stuff. If you have any small this item of food, they will take it away and they'll fine you also. In fact, in New Zealand, one lady was fined just the small bottles of honey, the small little bottles you get. 2,000 New Zealand dollars, which is about 12,000 of our money, just because of that small. So if somebody warns you, and that person is not any like a reliable person also, but you'll be so careful, I mustn't have trouble there. I must be careful, I must safeguard myself. Yeah, Allah has warned us of shaitan, and Allah has said that إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ, that is your open enemy. He doesn't hide his enmity also. He has vowed that I will come to them. What's that? مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ, that I will come from all sides and I will attack men all the time. He made this vow in front of Allah Ta'ala. So he is such an enemy, but we don't even have any thought. If we have some enemy, or we just think somebody is my enemy, perhaps not really also. When we get up in the morning, we think about it. When we're going to sleep at night, we think about it. But these enemies, so how can a person be protected when he doesn't even think that I've got these enemies and I must protect myself? Nafs is the other enemy which is inside. One is a snake which is outside the house. That also you are worried. But a snake that is in the house, a snake that is in your bed, that is under your pillow, and you're not even worried about it. But how can that person ever be protected, be safe, and how can he ever be successful? Worse than those enemies are nafs and shaitan, and we don't even worry. So anyway, somebody told shaitan, you causing all this trouble. So he said, I don't have time. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, when the thought of a guna comes persistently to you, over and over, then that is from nafs. Because nafs is with you all the time. And when the thought of a guna comes, and that thought doesn't come again, that is from shaitan. Because shaitan has vowed to mislead the whole of mankind. He doesn't just work behind one person. He just gives you one thought, he leaves you with that thought, and he carries on. And he gives some other thought to somebody else. And what thoughts? And that one thought, now this poor insan, he works behind it. And he is working fully for shaitan now. Shaitan is gone to lead other people astray. So shaitan explained to him, for example, all I do is I put a drop of syrup on the wall. That's all, and I carry on. Now, which is just a drop of syrup. And from here also we should understand our Shariat our elderly people, they stop us from many things. And we say, what's wrong with this? There's nothing wrong with this. But that thing leads you to where and where. So just the drop of syrup. So the fly comes, it starts licking on the syrup. Then the lizard comes for the fly, sees the fly, and the fly's food, the lizard's food is the fly. So the lizard goes for the fly. Then the cat comes and he goes for the lizard. The food for the lizard is the cat. The cat's food is the lizard. Then seeing the cat, the dog comes for the cat. So then the neighbor's dog and this dog starts fighting. The two dogs are fighting and then the two neighbors start fighting. Because dogs are fighting, now Ashraf al-Makhluqat, insan, they start fighting. And their tempers reach such a level, they pull out a gun and they fire a shot, one person is lying dead. Now there are court cases. That person who shot dead, his family is without a breadwinner. Now the wife, the children, all the problems that come from there. The other one who shot him dead, and they were neighbors. They were good to one another all along. But because of the dogs fighting, here the neighbors started fighting. This one is gone to jail now. He gets a 10-year sentence in jail. His family is without a breadwinner. And the two families now, they are suffering. All this, where did it start? One drop of the syrup. So many things like that, they are in our life. Our dressing, our parda, all these things. It's just shaitan, just a small little thing. And he carries on. He has vowed he's going to make the whole world go astray. But what happens to the people? So therefore, the tongue, one word that we speak, we don't realize what and what it does. So we have to be very careful with the use of the tongue. And in fact, Allah Ta'ala has commanded us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah, have Allah's fear. And how must you acquire it? One way, وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Say your talk, straight talk. There is great detail in the tafsir of this ayat, which inshallah we will cover. So to learn to speak straight is also a faraz upon us. To learn how to speak, that is also a faraz. Not just knowing a language, but to know what to say, which words to use, when to use them. All that is also faraz upon us. Otherwise, great, great havoc is caused in the world just because of the tongue. Many people, they say, especially about the woman, about the wife, she's got a terrible tongue. And when she gives you a tongue lashing, which is even worse than what the sword can do and what a stick can do, the lashing of the tongue, how terrible it is. So it is very important that this must be, a person must learn and use it correctly. So the tongue, which Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, jismuhu saghir, it is small in size, wa jurmuhu kabir. And the same way also, wa ajruhu kabir also. The reward of the tongue, one subhanallah, tamla'ul mizan. It fills the whole span of the pan of the scale, wa sawab. Subhanallah walhamdulillah, tamla'an ma bayn as-sama'i wal-ard. It fills up the whole space between the earth and the heavens. Reading of Quran Sharif for every letter, Durood Sharif. So the value of the tongue is also very, very great. And in there also we should see the great Qudrat of Allah. How Allah Ta'ala has made the tongue to speak. We say the tongue speaks, but really it is not the tongue that speaks. It is air that comes from the lungs. And as it comes out, then the tongue moves this way, that way, and together with the help of the teeth. Therefore, students who study makharij in tajweed, then they have to study the number of teeth also, and they have to study and train and practice that with the tip of the tongue, you must hit the tip of your teeth, you must hit the upper part, you must move it to the side, so the pronunciation of words can be corrected. So it is actually that air which is articulated by the tongue, and then letters are formed. But more, that is also Allah's Qudrat. And in the Akhirat, a person, Allah whose Qudrat is, that he makes the tongue speak here, we refer it to as the tongue, figuratively, but Allah has the Qudrat that any part of the body can speak. And anyone can speak. Allah can make animals speak. Allah makes stone speak in the hands of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala can make the wall speak. And all these things, it's all in the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. And our iman and yaqeen is, Allah has got this qudrat. On the day of Qiyamah, the parts of the body will start speaking. Whenever a person commits a guna, a good deed also. But in the context of guna, there are four witnesses immediately a person commits a sin. The one is, with which parts of the body he commits the sin. With his hands, with his tongue, with his eyes, a whole record is kept there. And that is not difficult to understand today. Today, you use your credit card at a toll gate. You use it in a foreign country. And it's all recorded at that point. That this card was used here, not only the location, not only the time, but to the second also. That so and so hour, so and so minute, and so second it was used. So all, if man can record all this, what is it difficult for Allah? So every part of the body records whatever a person has done. And then secondly is that ground where it is done. That ground also records it. That exactly on so and so date, so and so time, this person committed this sin on me. Whatever it was, whether you were looking at another woman, whether you stole, you just picked up something, you stole it, whatever wrong you have done, the ground records it. Thirdly, kiram and katibin, they are here also, and they record everything also. Then all these three are posted to the journal, that is the namay amal, our record of deeds. And there it is verified that what the ground says, what the parts of the body says, and what kiram and katibin say, is it all the same? Is it correct? Now it is recorded. So four evidence on a person. So on the day of Qiyamah, a person will lie in front of Allah Ta'ala also. And he will say, I didn't commit all these gunas. Then Allah Ta'ala will put a seal on his mouth. And then the parts of the body will start speaking. Then he will say to the parts of the body, that all the sins I committed for your enjoyment, for your benefit. I was looking at women for your benefit. I was listening to music for your enjoyment. I was doing it all for you. Today you have changed, so you have become state witness. You have become a witness against me. And you are giving evidence in favor of the state now. In favor of Allah Ta'ala. Why are you doing this? What will the parts of the body? They will speak to him also. أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. That Allah who has made us to speak, who has the power that he can make anything and everything speak also. So the tongue, the tongue speaks, yeah. And like that Allah, so yeah, also see the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. That how these words are formulated. Just for example, I did in my studies, linguistics also. And just for the letter P, just the alphabet, just the P, after using all the technical terms, it takes two full pages to explain how the letter P is pronounced. And a child of 2 years, how much he's speaking. He didn't go to any university to learn how much the board be pronounced, or how must the ta be pronounced. He didn't learn anything. But an Arab child of 2 years, his pronunciation is perfect. Whose qudrat is this? An English person, how he speaks. A German person in his language. Turkish person in his language. That child, and here also our Shaykh Damat Barakat Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that when you come to your Shaykh, come as ears. Don't come as a tongue. Listen. And Hazrat should say, see, a baby, right from the beginning, it's listening. It doesn't talk at the start. A baby will start talking 9 months, perhaps if it's early, 1 year, 15 months, then the baby starts talking. Some babies take a little longer also. The parents start getting worried, the child is not talking, it takes a little bit longer. But it's hearing with 2 ears all the time. If that child is born in a Gujarati home, automatically it starts speaking Gujarati. When it starts speaking, it didn't go and learn any Gujarati. If it's born in an Arab home, the child is speaking Arabic. If that child is born in an Indonesian home, it will speak Indonesian language automatically. So when you was listening, so a murid who comes and listens properly, he will start speaking the language of his sheikh also. that will come on his tongue. He will become the tongue of his sheikh also, because he was listening all the time. So he will speak that language also. So in here we have to also see the great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. How Allah Ta'ala, that a person is speaking, and just any word, just the word word also, has got four alphabets, W-O-R-D. And now to pronounce it in that way, Allahu Akbar, all this work is done in the brain. And the brain sends a message to the tongue. The usage of alphabets, and then the words, and putting them in a proper grammatical pattern, so that it makes sense what you are talking. All that is worked out by the brain. The brain is giving messages to the tongue all the time that say, and what a speed, how the brain is calculating, we can never ever, which Judge Akbar Allahabadi said, that you just have to come to that. Tu mere dil mein aata hai, meri samaj mein nahi aata. Oh Allah, you come in my heart, I believe in you, but I can't fathom you with my brain. You are beyond, it's impossible to fathom how great Allah is, the kamal of Allah. One way of to gain recognition of Allah Ta'ala is to think of, to meditate on the kamal, the perfection of Allah. And we can never ever reach there. We can't even reach the starting point of it. Which Buzurg say, Ma arafnaka haqqa ma'arifatik. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that, oh Allah, we have not recognized you as we are supposed to recognize you. And in fact, we can't reach there also. All we can say is, Ma araftuka ma'arifatan. I haven't recognized you at all. Not one, but you are beyond recognition. This brain, that is, it gives messages to the parts of the body at a speed of 200 kilometers per second. Not per hour. 200 kilometers per second. So multiply by that by 2 by 60. 200 by 60, what does that work out to? Ji? 12,000, I think. 12,000 kilometers per minute. And multiply by that by 12, I think it's 72,000 kilometers per, 720,000 kilometers per hour. The brain is giving messages all the time. Whether it is you're driving on the road and you see a signboard, stop street 200 meters ahead. Without you even thinking, you didn't even type in anything or anything, the eyes give a message to the brain. There's a stop street 200 meters in front. You don't think, it's not just automatically all this is happening. The brain works out what mathematical calculations take place in the brain all the time. It's impossible to understand. The brain gives a message to the legs to now take your leg off the accelerator, put it on the brake pedal. And with so much pressure, press down so that you can come to a comfortable stop at 200 meters. We don't think about this. The brain is thinking. We thinking, but we're not thinking. We are blind to it. There's a very, very sad thing. And one of the main objects of tasawwuf and khanqa and of the shaykh is that this blindness of us must be taken away. One time I needed a spare key to be made. So I was wondering where is the person who makes a key cutter? Locksmith. So I was going here through Krukasdorp and I saw one shop. So I went there, it was a locksmith. So I told him, I pass here so often I never see you. So he said that when you don't need me, you don't see me. When you need me, now your eyes are open, you're looking everywhere, the locksmith. And he was there all the time, and you pass, and usually the locksmith shops are small little, just tucked away somewhere, just a small little shop. So this is what we have to see, the qudra is there. We are using the brains all the time, but we don't see that we are using them. All this that we are speaking, the brains are working, and they're giving the message. When must we laugh? That also the brain tells us. Must I smile? Must I laugh? Must I laugh loud, softly? All this, the brain, it's impossible to understand how much the brain, and no oiling and greasing. Our machine, if we don't service it, maintenance, we don't put oil, what will happen? So the brain also, it needs oil. Very important, which is a great sunnah also, to put oil in the head. on a regular basis to oil the head is very, very important. That's a different subject. So anyway, see the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. So now the brain has given a message to the leg, put so much pressure on the brake pedal on the leg. So now you are coming, suddenly you see a ball coming across. Then, without you knowing, your eyes gave a message to the brain, a ball has come. The brain works out, most probably there's a little boy going to run after the ball, which you didn't see. But it works it out. And now the brain recalculating again. It recalculates again and it has put more pressure. At the same time, tells the hands to move the steering wheel to this direction. Because the boy will come, the ball has come, so move this side. At the same time tells the eyes to look at the back, isn't there a car coming this side? All this calculation is happening all the time. And those messages the eyes gives back to the brain. The brain recalculates, again gives a message. Allahu Akbar, we can't, and the speech, our speech is Allah's Qudrat. What is it in the Quran? إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْتِقُونَ. How you are speaking, Allah is haq. Allah is also 100%. There is no doubt Allah is there and He is in control. And not one, 2%. If you have a walkie-talkie doll you bought, you paid a nice amount of money for it, that walkie-talkie dolls can only take a few steps. And there are a few things recorded inside which it can speak. And you're so amused and you're so taken aback with that little doll. And you, insan, how Allah has made you. You're not only talking what is recorded in you, but you are thinking, you are making, you are changing your decisions, you are changing your ideas, you are changing your views all the time. And this is all the work of this brain which Allah Ta'ala has given insan. So what is the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala? If a person, for example, you write, which is common in a language, write an essay of not more than 200 words. Write an essay of so many words, etc. Every word, how many alphabets, and then to put it in the correct grammatical way, all that, the brain is working all that. If you are writing, how your brain is working, not your hand is just writing and your brain is sleeping. And you'll never be able to write. It's your brain giving that command all the time. So Allahu Akbar. So this also, with the tongue, see the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala also. And then use this great namat of Allah Ta'ala correctly. Like in most of our masjids we'll see, water is a namat. Use it, don't abuse it. This words also which Allah is giving us, it flows like water. It's just flowing all the time. But use it correctly, don't abuse it. See that the language that we use must be correct. So one side, see the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. How that little child born in an Arab home speaks Arabic. English home speak. Who is it that made this? It is Allah Ta'ala. And how that brain is functioning all the time. And why are you sleeping also? And sometimes in our sleep, what don't we dream? All that the brain, it's a work of the brain. That while you're sleeping also and all the dreams you are seeing. And sometimes what funny dreams you see. And nightmares you get at times. All that is also the work of the brain. The brain is working all the time. And the brain, that small little, Allahu Akbar. Look at this qudrat of Allah Ta'ala also. Insan that is made from a drop of semen. And there is history before that also. That how the semen is made. Anyway, from the drop of semen or part of a drop of a semen, from there insan gets made. Which is transferred from the father into the mother. In the womb of the mother, Allah's control takes over and a baby is made. In that one, today we get amazed and taken aback by a chip. That the chip has got, what memory it has got in it. And what the chip can do. How, so many things. But this one, hardly part of a full drop of semen is enough to make a human being. And in there, Allah has kept the material for the brains also. In that small drop of semen. In there is the material of the heart also. Two complete separate things. In there is the material of the skull bone, which is hard to protect the brain. The brain is soft, very soft. But the skull bone is so solid and so hard. For the heart, the material is soft. But to protect the heart, the whole cage, the rib cage, how Allah has made that? So He protect all the vital organs here. Your lungs, etc. In case you have an accident, then it's there to protect it. Somebody punches you or anything, it's there to protect it all the time. How Allah has made all this. In that same small chip of Allah Ta'ala, Allah has put the hair also. And Allah has put the teeth also. And Allah has put the nails also. Everything in that small little chip. What is, and these brains which are going to think, and some people's brains, how they work also. What brains Allah has given to people. All, and whatever is achieved in this world by man, it is the work of the brains of man. And who gave that? The one who gave you, you don't acknowledge him. And this is also what is part of tasawwuf. To learn to acknowledge it is from Allah Ta'ala. That person is very base. And a very, very mean person who doesn't want to say, I'm the son of so and so. That person who doesn't want to acknowledge his father. Today Allah made him a big man. Now one time, during the days of apartheid, and when universities were not open to non-whites in the country, one man sent his son to England to become a doctor. He was a working class person and he worked very hard because to pay the fees, university fees, and in UK, in England, very long ago. But anyway, he worked very, very hard. He sent him, he completed, the son graduated, he came back. The father was very happy, joyous. My son is a doctor, he made a big da'wah for people, etc. And he worked hard to educate his son. He hardly used any money for himself, his wife, his family or anyone. Just all the time just to pay the fees there and to pay his expenses. So whatever he could manage, a shabby little jacket. Those days people normally just wore their little suits, jackets. So that shabby jacket suit of his he wore. And all the people who came, all rich people, big doctor, and there were very few doctors in the non-whites. Hardly there were any doctors. You could count them on your fingers how many doctors there were. Now a doctor has come. So in the whole party, somebody asked the doctor, who is this man here? He was odd man out, wearing his shabby clothes. All the others were now wearing their smart, bright clothes, and he's one man out like that. What did the son say? This is the worker of the house. When he said that man, it was like a knife that cut his heart into pieces. That I sacrificed my life. I did everything. I made him a doctor, and today I'm called the worker of the house. And not by anybody else, by him himself. So just like that, a person who does not acknowledge you, today you became a great qari, a great maulana, and you don't attribute it to your ustads. That my ustad, my sheikh, my ustad taught me this. And some people, because of their ignorance, they say, why all the time you're talking of your sheikh? When you have got your treasure from your sheikh, you can't help it. You will speak, and that is what is a human who will acknowledge. Today we don't acknowledge Allah. That is what the tasawwuf is. We've taken the non-Muslims, the atheists, they have properly taken out Allah from the equation. That Allah is doing nothing. We as Muslims, but we also don't speak about Allah. There is no Bismillah in our language. There is no Inshallah in our language. There is no Salam in our language. We think that it is there, but we don't use Salam. It's not common. All our Islamic way of life, our Islamic language, it's not there. So to bring Allah into the equation and to know that Allah is doing all this. So that is what a person has to, that awakening must acknowledge it. It is from Allah Ta'ala. That whatever we have got, it is from Allah Ta'ala. Any small thing, MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah. All these things must be natural for a human being. If we are connected with Allah, then it will come on the tongue. But we're not connected. We're using, so a person who is not loyal to his sources from where he got what he got, that person is a very base person. Kamina in Urdu they say. A person who is a very disloyal person, that you don't acknowledge from where. Our parents we must acknowledge. And make regularly dua. Ask ourselves whether our parents are living or they've passed away. Do we on a daily basis, at least once, do we make dua for them? Or isal-e-sawab. for our asatiza, our teachers, and then for our mashayikh, regularly we should be making dua in isali sawab. This is acknowledgement. And for our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, durood sharif. Today is Friday, and a special ibadat of Friday is durood. How many of us read durood today? Durood is so important. With our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah made him the means for by through whom Allah blessed us with this great religion of Islam and deen, who gave us, who came and distribute to us the passports of Jannat and the visas of Jannat, and gave us our first class tickets to Jannat. There are third class economy class tickets also to Jannat, and there are first class also. It is for us. And as Muslims, we have been all given economy class tickets. Now we can upgrade it and get first class tickets. And basically it's only one thing to do to upgrade. You don't need money, you don't need Voyager miles. All you need is taqwa. You just have taqwa, and then you become a first class passenger. And you'll get first class. And at the airports also, you'll get VIP treatment. You'll get a VIP lounge also. So this is what we have to bring within us, to acknowledge that it is from Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, you become a hafiz also, you don't recognize your ustad. You don't make dua for your ustad. You don't make isali sawab for your ustad. Anything, your kitabs also. So this is also a very important, and that is a human being. A person who does not acknowledge is not even a human being, is worse than an animal. And on that, how many people got objection? Why? For example, at universities, Western universities, if you are doing Islamic studies, one very point they stress a lot, that every time you write the name Muhammad, you don't write sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They tell you don't write it. Because they say it's just filling the page for nothing. They are non-Muslims, so they will think like that, and they are our enemies. They want to take out the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from our hearts. The specific instruction they give. But we, a Muslim, won't be able to stay without. Whenever you take Allah's name, Jalla Jalaluhu, Ta'ala Sha'anuhu, in our Durood Sharif, our big mashayikh, for example, they don't only read sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ta'ala. Even there, they add the word ta'ala to Allah's name, the respect and honor. Wherever they write, Allahu Akbar. Most, or perhaps all our mashayikh, Maulana Masihullah sahab particularly, bi ismihi ta'ala. So bi ismihi, he will write, and ta'ala, he will write higher up, the greatness of Allah. So even on paper, it will be higher up. And when we ever take the name of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it must be natural durood sharif. The name of our akabir, rahimahumullah. Sahaba, naturally it should be radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. That should be always. Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahmatullah ali, in his muqaddama of Bukhari Sharif, when he used to teach, one point that he used to stress, that whenever the name of a sahabi comes, then say radiyallahu anhu wa anhum. Not only for him, but all the sahaba also. Everywhere, radiyallahu anha wa anhum. Everywhere refer to all the sahaba and send, he says they are our ustad. And a person who doesn't acknowledge his ustad, he won't get, how can, barakat is far off. He's a base person, he's a useless person, he's a kamina, a person. So to recognize all this, this is one object of tasawwuf also, that a person recognizes Allah. And how sad that though are the people who don't understand, they have an objection. Why every time you're taking the name of your chef? Why every time you're taking the name, which is like to say, they're taking the name of your ustad, taking the name of your parent. You must be happy. With release, you'll take the name from where you got all this treasure, to take the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The person won't be shy, but he will get enjoyment in it. So Allah's qudrat, we have to see that in that one drop of sperm, what Allah has put in. How much Allah has put in there, that the brains also, and how the brains are functioning. We cannot understand how they function. That when we are talking all the time, they are also working all the time. And what we speak, they are doing the thinking for us. They giving the instruction, now this word must go out. This alphabet must go out. And sometimes, to teach us also, this is also a very important point that we have to understand. Allah has given us all eyes, But there are people who are blind, and there is wisdom in Allah. Every act of Allah is full of wisdom. Why did Allah make them blind amongst many other wisdoms? One of it, that those who got eyes must make qadr of their eyes. If there was nobody blind, we shouldn't appreciate our eyes. But still we don't appreciate. If there were people who are paralyzed, people who are born handicapped, they were born like that, it is for us to appreciate that how healthy Allah Ta'ala has kept us, and that we make shukr for that. And in all these cases, there is such a beautiful dua of the hadith also. I've mentioned it before, I'll mention it, but I think nobody will really take heed and learn it also. That when you see any person in a misfortunate condition, whether he has got an accident, or whether he's got an illness, whatever it is, you read this dua, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي عَفَانِ مِمَّا ابْتَلَاهُ بِهِ وَفَضَّلَنِي عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِمَّنْ خَلَقَ تَفْضِيلًا. All praise is due to Allah, who has safeguarded me, has given me afiyat from this year, and he has made me much better than many of his creation. A person who reads this dua, that musibah, that problem will never come to him. It will never happen to him. You see somebody else getting a ticket on the road. You read this dua, inshallah you'll never get a ticket. So whatever, anything happens to somebody and you read this dua. Ulama have written one adab, etiquette of this dua, they don't read it loudly in front of the person. That person got a problem and you say Alhamdulillah. You are Muslim brother. Idkhalu surur fi qalbi al-mu'min. To make a mu'min happy is part of iman and is a great virtuous act. And to make a person sad, like many people, we don't know the etiquette. Anyway, you visit a sick person and we tell him that looks like I think it's the end now. I don't think you'll make it till tomorrow. Many people do this. When I had my heart attack, one doctor told me, in another 2-3 weeks you'll have another heart attack, and in a few months after that you'll be dead. Now a doctor's work is supposed to be that. But this is how we don't learn how to use our language. The tongue is a great gift from Allah Ta'ala. It must be used in the correct way. So one is see the qudrat of Allah. What a qudrat. Our talking that we are using all the time see the qudrat of Allah. And acknowledging, attribute it to Allah, relate it. If today we know that a person, in fact there is a quite interesting story. One person who was going to get married, he wasn't so well to do, so he lent some clothes from his friend to wear for his wedding. So they were passing few towns. So in the one town, the people came, oh, he has a bridegroom's party going. Barat is going. Bridegroom's party is going. So they asked, who is the bridegroom? So the best man, he told, this is the best, this is the groom, but the shoes are mine. So he told him, why are you saying this? Why are you insulting me like this? I borrowed your shoes, but you don't have to say it like this. So anyway, he said, okay, he went to next place. So again they met. So they asked, who is this? The bridegroom. This is the bridegroom. This is the groom. But I won't say anything about the shoes. So he said, from there the people get doubts, you start saying like that. So we must acknowledge ourselves. For him to say is good, but for somebody else to say is bad. So anyway, whatever we have got, acknowledge it. Basically everything is from Allah. On our own, take out 1 minute a day and make shukr to Allah for the billions of ni'mats of Allah. You have blessed me. I'm not dumb. If I was dumb, what was my condition? How many people who are deaf, dumb? What's the condition? Allah made us and He gave us proper language to speak. And we can speak properly. How much shukr? And then acknowledge it also. And this is what Allah loves when a person expresses. First of all, to acknowledge. That also we don't acknowledge. Many people think that it's my brains. I did this. I became a rich man today. My house, I planned it. It was mine. How I'm living with my wife, it's my brains that I'm using. But acknowledge who gave you your brains. Today the world, the non-Muslim world, that with our brains we have made aeroplanes, we have made submarines, we have done this, we have done this. But who gave you those brains? All the raw material, who gave it to you? All is from Allah Ta'ala. All you did, like our Shaykh, Ahmad bin Rahmatullah Ali used to say, scientists take out salt. They steal the salt from the sea. They take it out. And then they say, we made salt. They just took it, Allah's salt, which Allah put in a salt mine, or Allah put in the sea. And all they did, and that also is all, everything from Allah. If a person realizes there isn't a thing you can see in the world, you'll see Allah Ta'ala. And you'll be constrained to say, tu zahir hai, aur laakh parde mein hai tu, that oh Allah, you are everywhere. And at the same time, this impossibility is your reality. This impossibility is your reality, oh Allah, that you are everywhere, yet you are hidden. Tu zahir hai, aur laakh parde mein hai tu. You have hidden yourself in 100,000 ways. Tu baatin hai, aur sakht izhar tera. You are hidden everywhere, but you are everywhere. I just see you all. With your eyes open, you see Allah. With your eyes closed, you see Allah. With your plate of biryani, you see Allah. Who made this rice? Who brought it from Pakistan, this basmati rice? Who brought this mutton from the Karoo? Who brought the butter from New Zealand? Who brought the zafran from Spain? Who brought the spices from Malawi, from the whole world, and you gave it for me especially. Every grain, musawwamatan, the eater's name is written on there. And nobody else, and how Allah has transported it, from where, which fish is caught in which waters of the world. Who caught that fish? Who cleaned it? Who transported it? Who cooked it? And who eats it? What is the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala? We cannot understand. One person coming from Bangladesh to Pakistan, Jamaat brother, and he was repping his bidding. And there somebody was talking that a certain mealy grain is for a certain fowl, a rooster in Pakistan. So this brother just said, hey, how can that be? Don't talk nonsense, man. Where this this one grain here, and it is for the rooster there. So he was wrapping his bedding. It got wrapped up with it also. When he came here, and he was opening it, and somehow that he sucked it, and it went to his nose. It got stuck. He went was going to a doctor. So they told him, before you go to a doctor, one person knew, he understood what happened, that this mealy one grain has got stuck in his nose. So he made him sneeze. He gave him a shot at the back or whatever. As soon as he sneezed, it came out, there was a fowl that ate it. So then he realized that Allah sent this one grain of mealies for my fowl day in Pakistan. And I had to transport it. I had to do the transport work here. I had to bring that one grain of her. And in this way Allah made him realize. So Allah's Qudrat we cannot understand. So to understand Allah's Qudrat. So in speech also Allah's great, great Qudrat. Understand Allah's Qudrat also. Make shukr to Allah. He made us to speak and use our tongue in the right way. And we have to learn to use the tongue. It is very important in this month of Ramadan, where the less we speak, the better. In the Buzurgs of before, they used to stress on four things. Amongst them, one thing, to talk less. And so at least let us try. If we're not talking very much less, but at least, as little as possible, let us control our talking. There is one great weakness also we have got, and this, for one, it takes the nur of our ibadat away. When a person is just blabbering all the time, and he can't keep quiet, in silence, the nur comes. And in talking all the time, the nur goes. And then many times a person gets involved in big, big gunas. Ghibah, backbiting, false accusation. What and what gunas a person gets involved in. So the tongue is a great qudrat of Allah, and it has to be learned to be used correctly. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshaAllah.